The Great Lakes region is home to millions of people of different races and ethnicities, but diverse backgrounds and issues aren't always represented in environmental groups. In the final part of the series, Elizabeth Miller of Great Lakes Today examines how these groups are changing.
I meet Kim Smith Woodford on a rainy Friday at Euclid Creek Reservation east of Cleveland. It's a big wooded area with a trail lining the creek and shelters for birthday parties. The park is an urban oasis where folks from all backgrounds go for exercise or a picnic. And it means a lot to Smith Woodford. It's where she became more interested in the outdoors.
One day I noticed that I saw a couple people walking in the woods, and those people didn't look like me. And I didn't know. I thought, well, why are they walking over there?
The people were walking on the dirt trail, and one day Smith Woodford decided she could too.
It was just a beautiful thing to, you know, walk and hear the chipmunks, you know, running and scampering around. I've had sightings of deer, and I think I even saw a turkey.
Last year, Smith Woodford started Cleveland's Outdoor Afro Group, part of a nationwide program that has one overarching goal: get people of color, mainly African Americans, outside. The group hikes, swims, and kayaks on Lake Erie. Older environmental groups like the Alliance for the Great Lakes have come to realize they might not reflect the region as a whole. Their leaders and staff are predominantly white, and they generally haven't focused on non-traditional issues like safe drinking water.
We've got to move beyond and look beyond the folks that are at the front of the line with their hands up saying, yes, the Great Lakes are great.
That's Alliance President Joel Brumeyer. For him, the big question now is who else can be brought into the movement, and how do you engage them? Policy Director Crystal Davis, who's based in Cleveland, hopes to help the Alliance answer that question. Since joining the organization last year, she's been hosting community conversations with groups around the city, including senior citizens, African Americans, and Latinos.
We're going to buy dinner for folks. We're going to sit down and we're going to listen. We want to know if there are synergies between our objectives and our priorities and the priorities of the existing priorities of communities.
She asked for their perspective on Lake Erie and other water issues and uses that to guide her work.
For folks that are in close proximity to water, they feel like the lake is theirs. For folks who haven't been to Cleveland beaches or the lake in a long time, they have a view of the lake that it's polluted and it's dirty and it's dangerous.
The Alliance and other organizations are also widening their scope, focusing on non-traditional issues like water affordability, water shutoffs, and drinking water safety. But there are still gaps, especially when it comes to incorporating diversity into environmental organizations. That's according to research by Dr. Dorsita Taylor of the University of Michigan. On her surveys, some people said a focus on non-traditional issues is unnecessary, or that focusing on diversity leads to, quote, unintentional discrimination. Aaron Mayer, the Sierra Club's first Black president, says he faced pushback even while leading the organization. His two-year tenure recently ended. He says the environmental mission must be broadened, especially as minorities make up more of the country's population.
If you don't bring in all perspectives, and if you don't include all of America in this movement, this environmental movement, you know, you doom the cause and you doom the outcome.
Mayer will continue to try to shift the core culture of environmental groups, but he says time is running out. The world is becoming more diverse, and the movement needs to catch up. For Great Lakes Today, I'm Elizabeth Miller.
Great Lakes Today is a collaboration of WBFO Buffalo, IdeaStream Cleveland, and WXXI Rochester. For more stories, visit greatlakestoday.org.